He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And it is indeed Car Keys. And I was not here for the last show that was done with Jay on it, but I am here this week, and I've got a couple of things I'd like to start out with before we get into the meat of the matter, which I'm not sure what that is. First of all, I'd like to talk about changing tires on new cars when there are no spare tires in the car to be able to change the tire when you have a flat. It happened to me on my Hyundai, and people who listen to this who buy new cars should ask when they're looking at new cars whether their car comes with a spare tire or not, and if not, what does it come with, so that if they ever want to try to do it themselves when they're stuck on the side of a road with a flat tire, they could possibly rescue themselves without having to call a AAA type of service department or operation, which can sometimes take up to an hour to show up, if not longer. And what happened to me, that it turns out that when I dug into my trunk to find no spare tire, which I actually knew I didn't have, there is what comes with cars with no spare tires, tire repair kits. The Hyundai happens to come with a compressor, and it comes with a bottle of sealant, which you attach to the compressor first, and then you attach the tire sealant into the tire itself through the tire valve. And you plug the compressor into the, what they used to call the cigarette lighter receptacle, which is now just a power receptacle, and you start the compressor, which compresses the tire sealant canister up to about 70 or 80 pounds when you hear a pop, which is actually popping the seal out of the sealant so the sealant can be pushed into the tire, at which point you need to wait for the tire sealant to get out of the can, and then the air goes right through the sealant can into the tire and pumps the tire up, at which point you're supposed to get in the car and drive it 4 to 5 miles to get the sealant around, hopefully sealing whatever leak you have discovered that your tire has in it, which caused it to go flat. Not very difficult if you know how to do it in advance of having a first-time flat with your brand-new car and you discover that it has no spare tire, and then you have to ask, what do you do? Jay will say, call AAA. That's fine. And I called AAA only to find out that AAA, if AAA had come to my location, they would not be able to solve my problem because they do not repair flat tires because of liability factors. So I was up the creek without a AAA assistant. So that forced me to use this tire sealant kit, and fortunately it worked just fine.
Well, that's good news. It probably doesn't work. You know, I have a terrible habit of shredding my tires, so it probably doesn't work for that, right?
Well, this is interesting because that is true. If you have a tire that goes flat and you are moving along at 30 to 50 miles an hour or thereabouts, you had best try to come to a stop as soon as you can, because if the tire goes completely flat and loses all the air to keep the rim from touching the pavement, you are going to probably damage the inside of the tire beyond possible repair, at which point you would have to have a spare tire in the car, or you'd have to be towed to a tire repair center, because AAA does not carry tires for all the cars that they might rescue, and nor should they. But the alternative to trying to do an on-site fix is to have a tow truck come and tow you. And this comes to AAA itself. I've had AAA under my office, or in my office account, for a number of years, automatically renewing every year for what I thought was a very reasonable fee. I discovered recently, when I renewed the latest renewal, that what I had was good for 4 miles of free towing, after which I would have to pay, I don't know whether it was 35 cents or $1.35 a mile.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And so for the number of years I had this before I discovered I had the economy subscription to AAA, I thought that I had roughly 100 miles or so of towing capability. So I've now upgraded to that. But
do they give you 100 now?
That itself was a shock to me because I never realized that I didn't have more than 4 miles worth of free towing before I started to pay for the balance of the mileage due to any repair center.
I was just wondering, I also had that experience, but I never found a plan that was that was feasible. Do they have one that covers all your towing?
Well, not all of it, but it covers a lot longer mile, a lot longer distance than the original plan I thought did it. Of course, you get the free gas situation, you get the free potential tire change situation with even the basic plan, if you can do it on the spot, and maybe a couple other things. But once you get to the towing situation where towing is actually costing you more than 4 miles worth of free with the economy plan, which I didn't realize was really the economy plan, you are paying for a lot of mileage in most cases, especially if you're between on an interstate somewhere where you're not probably near any tire repair center unless it's near an exit and you happen to be in an urban area, an urban exit area where there would likely be a garage that could repair the tire. But you're still going to be paying probably $100 or more above the subscription to tow your vehicle, or have your vehicle towed, flatbedded as they call it, to a repair center. So I guess we've morphed from the Toyota Hyundai tire repair kit to AAA. Is it worth it or isn't it? It's worth it if you get the right plan, probably, and if you have patience should you be in a rural area, and because in a rural area, at least in our broadcast area, I only know of two AAA centers. One is in the state of Connecticut and one is in the state of New York within 15 miles of our broadcast center here. And fortunately, because we're rural, we don't find that the AAA services are probably as busy as they are in urban centers. Because even if there are more AAA centers, you still have to wait. And I once waited 3.5 hours in Florida for a AAA. It wasn't a AAA, it was a Jeep a version of the AAA when I needed to get my get into a car that locked itself with the key in the ignition a few years back. And it was a disaster as far as the service was agreement because, in this case, the people coming to service my car stopped off at a doctor's office for a treatment, and I had to call back, and they had to send a person from over 90 miles away as a second person to come and rescue me. And it took 30 seconds to get into my car once they arrived. I have reported this in an earlier show years back. But AAA is great if they can be fast and convenient and you don't have something that they won't do, necessitating them. They're telling you they can't fix it, which is what happens with a punctured tire in cars that have no spare tires in their trunk to replace the punctured tire on the site.
So if I can interject just...
Absolutely, Jay, but that's trying to give you time.
I think that some of us are sometimes over-insured when it comes to AAA or similar services, especially with new cars. When you buy a car these days, a lot of times the manufacturer, the dealership, sells you an extra warranty, or it is part of a warranty where towing is included in the package. And then you have your just regular car insurance, and some of those insurance plans include towing and replacement vehicles as well. So, you know, I've been in a situation where I had like three different forms of insurance for the same issue, which was to get a car towed if I needed to. So my advice is just, you know, look at your different plans that you have, whether from the manufacturer, your insurance, or an additional AAA type of service. And
to our listeners, Jay is absolutely correct. And in the Jeep incidents, and Jay is right, pretty much all new cars certainly come with roadside assistance plans,
right,
as part of their warranty program. You should know that, however, before you have a breakdown and before you go out and buy additional plans such as AAA or whatever else is offered separately by independent programs that are, that may come at you through the mail or through phone calls or that kind of thing. And then some credit cards used to offer that. I don't know whether they're still reachable. Maybe American Express does. I don't know because I don't carry that card. But you can be multiply insured for the same benefit, and you may be paying for it three times a year if it's on annual renewal situation. So that's one thing an owner of a new car should do is to check what comes with the car as far as roadside assistance plans. And how long that plan lasts. And I think in most cases it lasts for the duration of the total car warranty, which in many cases, if not all of them now, is like 3 years or 36,000 miles. And the 36,000 miles, incidentally, can come quite quickly if you drive a lot. The alternative is 3 years can come quite quickly if you don't drive a lot. And it's too bad they don't, I don't know, I wish they'd just give a mileage instead of a time, because it's crazy if you drive 10,000 miles a year and you still have 6,000 miles of life left after 3 years go by, and you'd like that part to be in place when you have an accident, when you have a breakdown, needing AAA assistance or the roadside assistance program to help you 1,000 miles after the either a month after the time runs out, or even 1,000 miles after the mileage runs out. Doesn't matter which side of the coin you're dealing with.
Well, I think that, and I'm just going to interject here, it's not, people definitely need to think about that. I have to say that one of the huge pluses with my rust bucket that people are trying to pry out of my hands and will not succeed is that there's a proper tire in it. And that's really good because, you know, I've lived here long enough to appreciate, shall we say, the local idiosyncrasies of AAA, but I've also driven back and forth, Robin, between the area where you drive back and forth, enough to know that once you're out of that safe zone, you're basically, this is years ago, but I called from someplace on Route 22, and they said, oh, yes, it was roadside assistance for Isuzu, and they were going to take me to the nearest Isuzu dealer. I didn't
That's
need
what
to,
happened to me with an Isuzu as well. Joel.
I didn't need to go to the nearest. If I was going to an Isuzu dealer,
right.
I needed to go to my Isuzu dealer, not the one. So there are, what I'm trying to say is there are elements of this that people do need to focus on, starting with, what is your spare tire? Do you have a donut?
And to that point, you can buy. There is a spare tire compartment in the Hyundai, and an alternative to all this stuff we've talked about in the previous 5 minutes or so, you could actually acquire a spare tire either in the donut, what they call the donut-sized tire, which is a temporary spare, which is good for roughly 50 to 75 miles at 50 miles an hour, to a full-size tire, which would fit in the many cars, if not all, the available compartment that used to exist in those cars, for full-size tires when they used to be standard equipment all the time. And that would take care of the problem I had with my Hyundai Sonata with no spare tire, because I would have had a spare tire for AAA to have come and fixed it.
So let me ask you,
they would
this.
Replace the tire. That's nothing, as long as they don't have to try and patch it.
So, Robin, let me ask you this. Is there, I was thinking there's no spare tire in your Hyundai because it's a hybrid and there's a battery pack instead of...
There it happened, yes. When I opened it up and finally looked at where the spare tire was and saw the tire repair kit instead sitting in it, there was actually a space that certainly a donut would have fit in. I'm not sure a full width tire blown up would have fit in it, but a donut probably would have. But that might not be. That's a good point, because the hybrid cars, of which there are several out now, including Ford, Honda, Nissan, and the like, the batteries have been relocated in the newer versions than mine, but there was still room in the trunk for a spare tire to have fit. I found out.
Well, I'm reminded every day of my spare tire in my tour rig, because it's an inflatable spare tire.
And it's flat in the compartment.
So the tire is totally it's on an 18-inch rim.
Yep.
And you inflate it, and it's also good for 50 or 60 miles an hour. But the problem is, once it's deflated, you can't fit it back in the repair shop.
But you can carry it in the luggage compartment.
Chase tried it as well, and so my spare tire now lives in the trunk of the vehicle, which is not very practical. But
well,
anyway,
that's interesting for, I don't know, the listeners want to hear this, but I'm very interested to know that they would put a deflated tire in any car at all. I've never seen a spare tire deflated. I have seen ones that deflated over time because it hasn't been accessed by anybody, either the dealer servicing the car or the owner looking at the spare tire, to find that the 80 pounds at which it was filled with when it was new has reduced itself, if not completely flat, down to 20 or so pounds, so that when you pushed on the sidewall, you could push your finger in. But a completely deflated spare tire is quite amusing to me, Jay. And, and for Volkswagen to supply you with a deflated spare tire is even more interesting because of Volkswagen and German and the Germans.
Well, it works, but, you know.
Well, I'm sure it worked, but I are you sure it never was inflated?
Oh, yeah, no. It that's the way it is. It's,
okay,
it's,
well, we don't need to talk to our listeners about that.
Yeah, enough with tires. So what else is new in the world?
Well, Tesla's fighting California. And Elon, in his usual way, his diplomatic way, has declared a lawsuit, if not with the county in which his assembly plant is located, the whole state. The state opened up the statewide ability to manufacture last Thursday, I understand. That's in early May. But the Fremont area where his plant is located continued to refuse to follow those instructions from the governor. So Elon can't produce any cars yet, although he's all ready to, and he's got a very nice plan to get everybody in the plant virus-free, and or at least test them for virus-free conditions and all that kind of thing. So we'll see where that goes, because he can't produce any cars in the American plant right now, and it's the only plant in the U.S. that produces Teslas. And he's furious, of course, as only Elon can be when he doesn't like what's going on.
Do you think there is validity to wanting to move it, or is it just to get attention?
Well, it would be stupid of him to move it. I mean, if he closed down the Fremont plant, why would he build a new plant elsewhere just because he's mad at the state? Elon would do that.
That's not.
I don't know.
Happen.
We'll have to watch and wait.
If Fremont does not produce cars in the foreseeable futures, we're going to get
Chinese versions.
We will get Teslas from China.
Right.
Right.
And I think he's building a company, a semi plant in Europe somewhere, is he not? I think there's one planned in Germany or something.
It would make a lot of sense.
But I believe China's open, correct?
Yes, China is open, producing cars for China. I don't think anything coming from China is coming here, as far as I know.
You know, on a bright note, China has had their first increase in car sales in over 2 years.
Is it 2 years?
Yes. So the Chinese car market was in a slump way before the
virus.
Coronavirus pandemic. Right. You know, since then they're 3 or 4 months ahead of us in the progression of the pandemic, as we know. But car sales have picked up, and actually in April they had their first gain since 2018.
Well, I know Volkswagen showed a gain, and probably some other automakers did. Whether it's a gain above and beyond the so-called 2 year ago maximum that was at, I don't know. But it does bode well. And there's lots of suspicion or projection out there that there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand, and you're going to have reasons from people won't want to ride subways and fly airplanes in groups, so they'll want to own cars, to just pent-up demand because people want to buy new cars. And as Jay said, I believe in last week's show, or maybe 2 weeks ago, truck sales have been largely, where there's been inventory, largely immune to the slump in the car sales situation.
Yeah,
and dealers have been clearing off their lots of trucks where they've had the right models.
Yeah.
I've read several articles about that, and it's interesting to see what the people want versus what the dealers might or might not have had to give them. But this is when you
right
get swapping
the
goes into
inventory,
effect.
Inventory for pickup trucks is, I think it typically is around 700,000 units is what you have at any one time, typically. And the forecast for the next few months is to have that drop to around 200,000 units. So
they get
you
the
may not have
back
a choice.
Up. Yeah,
if you want
true.
A pickup truck, you're going to buy the one that's on the lot or the one that's coming in. Because
Or you wait.
Yeah.
And the stories were dealer stories in Automotive News. It's a weekly rag.
And manufacturers
last week was talking about dealers, what they were selling, and the dealers that had them were having a great time. The dealers that didn't were telling their customers they had to wait or they had to buy something else, as Jay just said.
I think here's what I do suspect, that because we are going, shall we say, back to the future, if you will, on a lot of things, just as people work out how they are going to, shall we say, quote, move about the cabin, you may well have a new need for driving.
That's true. And Jill, you know, your rust bucket is indeed rusting. And hopefully you will have listened to the first 20 minutes of this show that you have actually been participating in, and you will be sure that the next car you buy has, if not a donut spare, a full-size spare, a donut spare, so that you will be able to have your tire changed if you do get stranded on one of the roads that you circumvent around the area.
Right. No, you should
but
be...
But people might think that when they go, look, you know, my dealer never, at the Jeep dealership, never told me that the Jeep didn't have either a temporary spare or any spare. As a matter of fact, only if you get a towing package factory installed at the Jeep dealership, you have a full-size spare tire in your Jeep vehicle. They determine that if you're towing a trailer or something, you might get a flat. What?
You might get a flat.
You might get a flat. Not only the trailer tire, but your
right.
Jeep tire, and you ought to have a spare there. And that comes as part of their upgraded packages, or at least a trailer package. I don't know about any of the other models without trailer towing on it, but certainly the trailer towing package comes with a spare tire. And this is an SUV, of course.
All right. Any other comments in the final 2 minutes? Jay, safety tip? One quick safety tip, please. How about keep your eyes on the road?
Situational awareness.
Situational awareness is very appropriate.
All the time.
The people are out with the coronavirus down in the urban areas. They are walking on the roads. Parks were closed. Paths were, if not closed, sometimes weren't open. And so people had to go resort to the only other place they could walk off their properties, which was the roads. And let me tell you, in New Canaan, which is where I was over the weekend, the roads were packed with walkers. And they walked side by side, Jill, just like the bicyclists.
Yep.
And it would have driven you nuts you'd be on a slalom course on a ski hill.
Well, I was being driven nuts here, and I will just mention this vis-a-vis situational awareness. There are people here who have, you know, who are on the new side, and when they realize that they have lost cell reception, for example, or just that they're lost, they stop flat wherever they are.
In their cars.
And, you know, with little or no awareness that they're on a smallish road
and no one can see. And Jill, it's use your flashers.
How
if
about
you're
that?
Stopped. The cars that are stopped with no brake lights because they put it in park and don't give you any indication of what the situation status is with their car. Besides nobody using turn signals properly anymore, everybody who's listening, use your flashers if you're stopped. Truckers always used to do that. Now the commercial truckers do, and unfortunately many of our people using pickups that are in the the businesses of owning pickups don't use them even when they should.
Wait, let me add one thing. If you're going to use your flasher when you stop, please turn them off when you're
running.
There is
I agree.
That, right. All right, he is Robin Leach, he is Jay DeMarc, and this is Car Keys.